Good morning. Welcome to our live show, Cellular Healing TV. I have a special guest with us this morning. Dr. Pompa can't join us. He's actually traveling. And
what do you mean special? Special how?
You're special.
Yeah.
I spent a day and
a
half.
Good way.
Yeah, it is a good thing. A special. I really we'll call you unique. That's not a good word either. We, you know,
I'll take special as long as it's used in the right way.
Special and unique guest, Phil Kaplan. Dave's going to be joining us in just a minute. And, you know, Phil is a mentor to us. He's now helping us mentor a lot of our physicians through the Platinum program, where we have physicians that we train around the world. And he's been on board helping us serve those doctors, making them better. As a matter of fact, one of his programs where he trains the top fitness professionals in the world is called the Be Better program. And so he's helping us be better. And the same problem that happens every week until I can figure out how to fix that is this plane. Yeah. So look, it's always funny to laugh at Warren messing up with technology. So welcome to Cellular TV once
Who's
again.
Who's special now?
I am the special guy. So Phil, if you don't know him, he's been on thousands of TV and radio shows across his career. He's been a leading fitness professional for over 30 years, worked with Joe Weider, had his own health and wellness radio show, very, very popular. He's a great radio voice once you hear him speak here in a minute. And he also has what's been really revolutionary. He's developed what is called the Alive
Protocol,
which is in...
Let me tell you what.
Okay.
Because the medical industry does not respect the word program. In other words, if there is a program, and I can say, well, people are losing fat, they'll say, yeah, so. But if it's a protocol, it's a specific regimen. And that's what the medical field responds to. And if there's evidence, if the regimen brings about a result, again and again and again and again, if they can see consistent trending toward better health through a protocol, they receive it. So that's been a hurdle, is how do I get the stoic medical field to open up to the idea that people can actually be responsible for their own health, for their own betterment, without necessarily going down that path of medications. There are two words I found them very responsive to. Intervention and a protocol. So what Alive is, it's an exercise and eating intervention delivered in the format of a very specific 8-week protocol. So between you and me, it's a fitness program.
And it's working. And I think you have one of the Johns Hopkins type hospitals, or what hospital, I guess you can't really name the program, so we don't know which hospitals it is because we don't want to divulge that information. But people are actually through the hospital getting off their medications and moving into a place of wellness, where they're, you know, which is our philosophy, remove the cause, get to the root cause of the disease. It's not a outside-in approach, it's inside out, the body can heal itself. So Phil,
let's start with this.
Yeah,
Mark.
And I gotta get David on the line because it's he's not being able to get in. So I'll handle that and you get started.
I want to talk to you.
All right, talk to
you
me.
Want to talk to them?
Yeah, talk to them.
I think that we frequently hear people say it doesn't work. Do you hear that?
Yep.
What doesn't work? Well, the drug they were taking doesn't work. The program they're on doesn't work. The diet they're on doesn't work. The exercise program doesn't work. And what they tend to do is globalize. So somebody tries a program, we're almost at New Year's,
right?
So everybody's in this crazy time of year right now where they just throw away sanity. They go, there's no way I can eat better. There's no way I can get fit right now. So they just indulge. And there's gluttonous behavior. But the salvation at the end of it is the New Year's resolution. They believe that come New Year's, they'll stop eating all their favorite foods. They'll start working out 2 hours a day. They'll sleep 8 hours a day. They'll change their lives. And then 3 weeks later, they come to this conclusion, it doesn't work. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be the topic of today's show. We kind of named it losing fat and improving health. But, you know, with the New Year's coming up, is let's find out why these folks make those resolutions, indulge, say Thanksgiving, December, come January 1, I'm going to transform my life, and they don't. So, and ultimately, the buzzword is, hey, if I say, hey, Phil, you had a group of people in front of you, said, hey, I'm going to get you all healthy, would they respond?
Would they respond?
Yeah.
Not if they're not sick.
Right.
Right? In other words, if you're dealing with sick people, and you go, I'm going to get you healthy, you go, yes, please. But if you're dealing with people who are reasonably unwell, meaning not at their best, you go, I'm going to sell you health, they're not going to jump at that.
What if you were in front of the room and said, look, I can shed, you know, through this protocol, 10 pounds of fat.
Hands go out there.
hands up everywhere. So what we want to do on today's show is figure out how everyone can raise their hand today about not only losing fat, but about getting healthy in the process. So you get what you ultimately want through the process, you're going to get what you need. And Phil's one of those experts that can help us.
Well, you know, I think the, let me start with this. The number one reason that people fail to get fitness, weight loss, health result they want.
Okay.
The number one reason, I'm going to put this out there and you tell me if you agree. If you don't, you know, then disagree. They're being misled.
Correct.
So it's almost like if I said to you, Warren, here's a shovel, go outside, dig a hole to China. You can try with the best intentions, but you're probably never going to get there.
Right? Never.
Let's take it a step further. Let's say I give you a shovel and I say, dig a hole to the moon. No way in the world, but what if I give you the best shovel? What if I get you like that big steam shovel? Still not going to get you to the moon, right?
Nope.
Because it's an ineffective technology. If I say to you, I want you to make ice cubes, but I want you to do it by boiling water. Never get there.
Nope.
So here's an example of how that applies when people try to lose weight. They're told to go on a calorie-restrictive diet. That's digging a hole for them. If it's only about taking in fewer calories, did we just...
No, I'm just making sure that the mic is better. I want everyone to get this.
If it's only about taking in fewer calories, it's going to backfire. So this is what historically people do with the New Year's resolution. They go, I'm going to eat. I'm not going to worry about it because New Year's, I'm starting my diet. Whether they go on some commercially recognized diet or they read a book, it comes down to they're going from a place where they're eating 3,000 calories a day of sugar and fat and everything in between.
But I have my Slim Fast showing up January 1st, or I have my Nutra program showing up. Oh, now it's organic, so it's even more healthy, right?
Right. So for the first week of that new program, they get on the scale, and they've lost 5 of the 9 pounds they gained over the holiday season.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So in that first week, emotionally, they feel great. They're not loving the food, or they're not loving the absence of food, but in the moment they get on the scale, they feel great. Second week, they get on the scale, and they lost another 2. Now, they're a little disappointed, because the first week they lost 5. Now they only lost 2, but they're still with it. And then the third week, something horrible happens. They get on the scale, and they're still eating their little packages of food and drinking their delicious tasting shakes. But the scale says the same thing it said the week before. It stopped. That's when they come to this global decision, the diet doesn't work for me.
Yep.
Somehow there's something about them that is preventing the diet from working. So I want you to think about this. The weight loss industry is the only industry in the world where people fail to get what they pay for, and they blame themselves.
And that emotional, that's an emotional, like, sledgehammer.
And there's more than that, because there's also a chemical sledgehammer. Because when they've stopped eating, in essence, and they've cut back to 800 calories a day, without guidance as to how to do this healthfully, their body wants to survive. So it has these great little innate built-in mechanisms that drive them to the nutrient that will give them the quickest energy and the nutrient that will give them the longest lasting energy. So the one that will give them the quickest energy is glucose.
Right.
The one that will give them the longest lasting energy is fat. So they start getting cravings. And they're not craving broccoli. They're craving sugar and they're craving fat. This is innate. This is the human body's way of trying to protect, but they don't understand that. They have misinformation. They were told that this is the path to long-term health and weight loss. It's not. It's the path to frustration. So as soon as they go off that diet and they give in to the cravings, which they will do.
It can't help hormones.
All of the weight comes back.
So they should say that they should call this diet plan the failure plan.
Yeah, the repetitive failure, but they do it every year.
It's the yo-yo.
They know dates and they know numbers.
It's the yo-yo failure plan. Hey, Phil.
If you notice, I was distracted at a little point during the show. I was actually emailing Dave.
Trying to get me on. We were having technical challenges.
Technical challenges. Even on great radio stations like...
Because he's special.
And podcasts like Silly Billy TV. So, Phil, last week, you know, what we discussed was detox versus diet. Because there is the detox component, which I know you're aware of. So sometimes people will eat the perfect diet and not lose weight. So that's last week's show. So that's the people that are weight loss resistant due to toxicity and inflammation at the cellular level. So, and we did talk about calorie restriction and the rebound effect. Even on a good diet, they do calorie restriction, they lose that 10 pounds, and then it rebounds back on versus detoxification along with the proper diet. So that's last week's show. Make sure you watch that. And then we're now live on iTunes. So if you put in Cellular Healing TV, you can download up to a year of these shows. Now it's podcast free on iTunes. So if you're watching, go to our look us up on iTunes, and you can download that. And there's also some links. If you're watching the show right now, you'll be getting an email. You may have even received it right now, where you can download and join our podcast on iTunes, and then you can watch a lot of listen to these shows, not watch them, but you have to be tuned in so you're in today. So that's my little plug for our next, for our last show, and for iTunes. So David, what were you saying?
I have no idea. However, I have no idea what I was saying. However, I was listening in before you were able to get me on, and you know, this is a really important topic during this time of year. In fact, you know, it's kind of funny. My 17-year-old daughter came to me yesterday and said, "Dad, I need to do a cleanse. What do I do? I want to lose weight." I'm like, "Maddie, you don't need to lose weight. You just need, you know, change how you're eating. Stop eating the bread. Stop, you know." And so what kind of advice would you give to our viewers who, for the first time, they may not have said, so how do they, you know, change that mindset that they're going to purge their body and do it the right way and not yo-yo back?
The first thing is they have to understand that the idea of the calorie, in my mind, and you can again disagree if you don't agree, is archaic. It's an old measure. It is, they take a device called a calorimeter that you can build your own. It's not hard to do. And they're assessing how much heat does it require to take 1 kilogram of water and raise it 1 degree Celsius. That's what a calorie is. What does that have to do with food? Well, there's this leap. There's this assumption that because your body is a furnace and because your body is a heat machine, it's going to extract energy from the food and burn it up as heat.
Yeah, a calorie is a calorie. I worked with a...
But it is not.
Yeah, I know it's not.
I know.
Not
and this is
close.
Where this is why I said people are misinformed. So
and this is most, maybe not most of you watching this, but that have followed our stuff, our information, and Dr. Pompa's information. But 90% of the world believe that we are a furnace. Even the high-end fitness professionals, even though they're moving, you know, our direction.
Calories
now,
in versus calories out.
They say I'm a furnace. How do you? What do you eat for lunch to be and dinner to be this amazing triathlete? And what I've heard from some top triathletes, it doesn't matter. Just burn the furnace hotter. That's what they tell me. Just burn it hotter. Put whatever you want in it. It's calories in, calories out. Burn it hotter. You'll burn it off. And they're ripped and they're lean. And it's true to
an
extent.
But they're triathletes.
Yes.
Their metabolism is different. Their machine is different. So now you take the average person and you cut them back on calories. Well, let's think about it this way. If you were to eat 1,200 calories a day of a good combination of lean proteins and natural complex carbohydrates with the right essential fats, would your body look and feel the same as if you were to eat 1,200 calories a day of ice cream sundaes over the course of a year?
I just saw something on YouTube. A guy did sodas where he was ripped and lean and did the ice cream or the soda diet, if you will, and he looked like he aged 20 years in about 10 weeks.
Well, so that's what Paul just said. It's how you feel, look and feel.
And how you feel, yeah, obviously.
So clearly there's a difference between consuming your calories from sugar and consuming your calories from good nutrients that have biological value, right? So it can't just be about the calories. So let's get rid of that idea that calories matter. And I think in re-educating people as to what does matter, one of the things is they have to recognize that food is two things for them. One, it is anabolism. It is the material they're going to use to build new healthy cells, right? Somewhere they have to get that material into their body.
Yeah, we shed our cells our lung lining, you know, daily, you know, those sorts of things. Our cells are regenerating constantly. And over a period of 7 years, we regenerate every single stinking cell in our body.
So it would make sense that if we want quality cells, which we do, right, if you want quality health, you want quality cellular health, that you would want quality nutrients going into your body. So it's not about the calories. It's about the quality for anabolism. However, if we only ate for anabolism, if that was the only intention, we just ate amino acids so we could build new cells, your body would metabolize those amino acids because it needs to burn them up as fuel. So eating is twofold. You're eating for anabolism and you're eating for fuel. And when you understand that, it's not so much about not eating, it's more about what do you put in.
Right.
And I think we can very quickly identify the evil villain that is most responsible for the escalating obesity and diabetes problem in America, and that is sugar. The average American consumes 170 pounds of sugar a year.
It's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar, and that's the average. That's not a sugarholic. Like, that's not saying a guy who eats a lot of sugar. That's the average, per capita average. So the sugar lobby is very powerful. The sugar marketing is very strong. Anything that comes out that threatens the sale of sugar is going to get somehow exposed as something negative. And sugar is addictive. So I think one of the most important things is for people to gain control of their sugar intake, to stabilize blood sugar so they stop the erratic ups and downs. Given the choice, a diet focused on calories or a diet that frees you from the plague of sugar, there's only one answer.
Well, and then one of the things that Dr. Papa talks about a lot is the carbohydrates that turn right, you know, you have bread. It turns right into sugar within your body, and it has that same kind of effect.
Even whole healthy grains.
Yeah.
And that, you know, again, that depends on the individual, whether they can handle ancient grains, healthy grains. That's definitely an individual
question. Well, ancient grains are something totally different, though, yeah. than
your wheat bread that you think is healthy.
Yeah.
It's just not bleached. You know, it's still, you know, all just the sugar extracted into the bread. So, and many of the viewers watching this, we have a great viewership today because we just sent out the email. So there's a lot of people watching. So I love this information that we're sharing. It's on a basic, simple level, but honestly, that's what we need to be sharing to people and transforming their minds through education. Is it's not about calories in, calories out, and it's a really unique topic. But Phil, you brought up, you know, I think a great strategy, and you're a great teacher. Anabolism, which is for replacing your cells. So that to make you better from the inside out, rebuilding yourself at the cellular level, like little building blocks. You have a trillion cells, which are little, you know, I just had an analogy, you know. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But I read to my daughter the Three Little Pigs story, you know. So if you have a weak anabolism,
story.
Yeah, she loves it. And she makes sure that I say it perfectly, and she's 3 years old, and she's like, no, you huff and a puff, and I'll blow your house, I say, on. Or she'll be like, no, it's blow your house in, Daddy. So if your cells are made of straw versus wood versus brick, and now obviously we know cells made of bricks, you know, would be the most resilient, which would deliver the most protection, you know, would look the best long term. It's not going to rot and mold and, you know, those sorts of things. So I think a lot of people are building their anabolism by just doing the energy, just eating sugar for energy. That's causing oxidation, glucose spikes, aging. You're building your body out of straw again and again and again, and you're going to get the same result. Or and you're maybe originally you were built of bricks, but you're going to straw by, especially with age, on what you eat and what you're rebuilding your house with, which is your body. You can start with straw, but if you start eating healthy fats, grass-fed, the things that we talk about on the show, you can move from a straw house to a brick house. And then you can look like Phil.
She's a brick house.
Yeah.
So the bottom line here is very simple. Eat
bricks. Makes me think of a song.
Right?
I didn't say the analogy was going to work for sure. But
the Warren Phillips diet program, eat bricks.
Eat bricks.
Eat bricks.
So it's about the quality of the nutrients you put in.
Versus just the energy. And that's
there are two other things that are really important to understand. One is we are not victims of our metabolisms. We are the creators of it.
Good point.
You know, everything we've learned about epigenetics and the ability to switch the way the genes express themselves, metabolism is something that many people will come to me or a fitness center and they go, I just have a rotten metabolism. My mom had a bad one. My grandmother had a bad one. As if on the day they were giving out metabolisms, they just, you know, got in the wrong line, right? It's really about lifestyle and habits because they eat the same way and they behave the same way as their mom who eats and behaves the same way as the grandmother. So we feel like we are victimized by our metabolism until we learn how to take control of it. So that's just one important, I think, preface before anybody gets on a program trying to lose fat, is you got to get on a program that feeds your metabolism. Not so much just about eating anything, but you've got to be concerned about the change you're capable of making. If you've tried something in the past and it didn't work, it doesn't work. Don't go back to that same thing. But don't mistakenly believe that you are now stuck with this metabolism. You just haven't unlocked it yet. You just haven't fully learned. And that's why I say people are misled. When they get the right information, suddenly they become empowered. Just like they're not victims of their metabolisms, they're not victims of their appetite. So when you talk to somebody who was given a label of being a carb addict,
right,
or a sugarholic, they're not. That's not a disease that they inherited. That's a self-induced condition, and it can be reversed. But what they'll say is, I can't because you don't understand. I crave sugar.
I hear it all the time.
You created that. You are not a victim of those cravings. You created them. And if you created them, you can uncreate them.
Well, it's sort of like a drug addict. I mean, you think you, it's like a drug addict. What do they have to go through? They have to go through an extended detox period, and then because it's so they have these addictions, you know, they got to go to support groups to help people prevent them from getting back on. Well, it's not any different when it comes to sugar cravings. I mean, it's powerful.
It is powerful. I'm going to make a point. But I just want to remind the people listening on the podcast now and the viewers, Dr. Pompa is traveling today, so we have Phil Kaplan with us. If you're just joining us, I see viewers hopping on. Phil Kaplan and David are with us today. Dr. Pompa is traveling, so if you're joining us, this is the right show. You know, Dr. Pompa is typically on it. Cellular Healing TV, welcome. Thanks for joining the show. And even last night, just to carry on with that thought of the addiction, we were at dinner last night. I'm not going to name names with who, but they said if bread shows up, I can't help myself. If bread is there, I'm going to do it. And that's a hormonal issue. And they are carboholics, and a lot of them confess it. I'm a carboholic. But that isn't your destiny. You can change that, and that's what Phil's saying, is that and through education, a lot of the times just someone saying, I don't have to be a carboholic. I don't have to have a slow metabolism. Is that what you're saying to me right now? That's exactly what Phil's saying to you right now. You are not doomed. We're giving you hope. It's through education.
And Warren, I really wish that it were simple enough so that we could say to people, yes, just eat cabbage soup and that's going to be all you do.
Cabbage soup diet.
Yeah. It's not that simple. It's not as simple as to even say give up the bad refined bleached carbohydrates. It's not enough. There are lots of moving parts here. And a moving part that I'm sure you guys have addressed before is the food companies are not your friend.
Nope.
The food companies have an agenda, and it's very different than your agenda. Their agenda is not to make you well. Their agenda is to manufacture foods that you will buy again and again and again. They want to do it cheap and charge you. That's what they want. That's their agenda. It has nothing to do with health.
Sole purpose.
So they are pulling you into this place where you feel like a victim, and you say, if the bread shows up, I have to eat it. But this is where personal responsibility really comes in. And, you know, the reason my protocol is 8 weeks is because there's no way to give somebody the answer in 30 minutes and have them go, I got it. Now I know. Now I know what to eat.
True.
So it really requires a re-education. They need to understand about GMOs. This is not conspiracy theory. This is the real deal. They're putting foods in their body that look like good, healthy foods that are actually destructive. So when you're trying to build the brick house, if you're putting in foods that are destructive, there's no way it's going to work. That doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means nobody taught you how to do it right.
Well, and changing the gene expression and going back, it comes down to, you know, the brick house is the cell that can actually receive hormones, can communicate. And when we put all the toxins and the sugars in our body, what happens is things become blunted. And that's why we have so many autoimmune challenges these days. That's why we have weight loss resistance. So what you're talking about is right food in consistently and opening up your detox pathways through giving it your body a chance to reduce cellular inflammation, and it makes it easier for you. Is that what I'm hearing, or am I adding words? Maybe a little both.
Good. Well, the body wants to be well. It really does. It's not like your body wakes up and says, I want to be sick today, or I want to get less healthy on a daily basis. But if that's what you're doing to it, it's adapting. It's an amazing adapting tool and mechanism. And one of the things that we shared even last night is sometimes we don't realize, even through Cellular Healing TV, we're getting a lot of positive feedback. Dr. Pompa, you know, I watched your show and it's transformed my life. Why is that? It's because they start doing the right things, like David said, consistently You didn't build Rome in a year. You didn't build your brick body in a year, or your cells, which are made of actually fats, and that's why you use brick mortars, the omega 6 and omega 3. But that's getting complicated. But it does take time to rebuild that anabolism over time. And what happens is the hormone switch happens, and it can happen pretty quickly, especially if you get rid of all grains and all sugars.
And permanently.
And permanently, I have zero cravings. Unless after I work out I get hungry, but I think that's a growth hormone issue. I'm not sure why that happens.
Well,
but
and let's talk about working out, because I know we're limited for time.
We do need to get there, yeah.
Okay.
Another fallacy and another great topic.
So just like we now understand that it is possible to eat less and not lose weight, right?
Right.
It is possible to get on a diet that somebody told you was a good one and wind up less healthy, correct?
Correct.
Just as that is the case, it is possible to exercise and break your body down. And it's a mistake I see lots of people make. So when we talk about the New Year's resolution, when you have the person who's been started on Halloween, they ate some of their kids' candy, and they go, oh, you know what, this year, New Year's, I'm going to get fit. So now it gives them license to eat anything they want.
I'm going to burn it off.
This whole holiday season.
I'm burning it off, man.
So they join the gym. Now I'll tell you this, some health clubs, and I've been in this industry a long time, some health clubs do 25% of their revenue for the entire year in the month of January. Just think about that. 25% of their revenue for the year in the month of January. Why? Because of the New Year's resolution. If you go into a gym on January 3rd, you see everybody with their new workout outfits that they got for Christmas and their brand new Nikes. And
oh, Lululemon.
You go there January 22nd, the same people are there who were there in December. So why does this huge sea of people fail all at the same time? Because the approach is wrong. It's too much too soon. It's jumping in with both feet when you need to start with a toe in the water. So people say, okay, now that I got to lose the weight, I'm going to... And personal trainers feed this, unfortunately. Personal trainers think their job is to give you a good workout. So when we take the individual with a rotten metabolism, who is not conditioned, who is not good at oxygenating the cells of their body,
straw hats,
and push them through a one-hour intense workout, we're doing them more harm than good.
So if you're looking to join, and if you're one of those broken-down people, and you're going to join CrossFit, is that a good or a bad idea?
If you're a broken-down person, it's
a
bad idea. CrossFit is wonderful for many people. I love the competitive element where you're competing against yourself.
And the community, yeah.
Yeah, so if you are fit or near fit, CrossFit may be a very good avenue.
But for me, you'd think I was fit, and I started working out with a health coach. And almost a year and a half later, I may be able, I think, to do CrossFit healthily in a good way. And so, but I'm just
saying
it took me a while to get there.
Here's the piece of it that people need to understand. It is not about the intensity or the volume of the exercise.
Okay.
It is about the balance between stress and recovery.
Well, I think what I'm hearing you say, Phil, and I've experienced it after years of prolonged inactivity in the past, is you go with a trainer, they push you really hard, and all of a sudden for the next week, you feel like your body's falling apart, and that's, you want to know why people don't stay with it. They feel the pain, and the pain... It's pain and pleasure. What do people want? They want to move away from the pain more than they want the pleasure. And they get so sore, and they have all these things, and like, I don't want to deal with it, and all of a sudden they stop. So is that what you're saying?
Worse than that. It's more insidious than that. Because it's not so much that you're always feeling the breakdown that's taking place in your body, but let's back up. We would say the root cause of all chronic disease is inflammation, right?
I would agree.
Okay. So when you place too much stress in, I think you talk about the stress bucket, right? Mm-hmm. You put too much stress in there, then it drives inflammation. Well, exercise is stress. So you take a stressed out person whose bucket is overflowing, and you go, now we're going to bring you into the gym.
And add more stress.
We've just added stress. So it's really about the balance between stress, load, and recovery. And here's something that's really interesting. C-reactive protein is a marker, a biomarker, that we could use to assess systemic inflammation.
CRP,
right?
Yeah.
CRP. So if you are very inflamed, your CRP will be elevated. There is a correlation between heart rate recovery and reduction in CRP. In other words, when we can get somebody into their parasympathetic nervous system, and if we need to translate that, we will. But if we can get their parasympathetic nervous system to become stronger, make them better at recovering, their inflammation goes down.
Interesting.
So when you do too much exercise, or on the other end, you don't recover, you drive further inflammation. So every disease that you have over time is perpetuated, even if you're in the gym.
And then that's, I mean, from someone who's been sick and been down the road, Warren, you're unhealthy, you're not sleeping well, you're stressed out, just go exercise more. But my stress bucket was full. So again, the reason we're sharing this information is that you may have been failing because you're getting misinformation.
I don't know if you're going to believe this right now. When people start with the Alive Protocol, the first week they do 6 minutes of aerobic exercise, period, that's it.
You got them moving.
Not only do we have them moving, but we do it where we incorporate what I call all outbursts. Within the 6 minutes, twice, for 12 seconds a pop, you're going to hit it as hard as you can, as fast as you can. That is the sympathetic stimulation. That is the fight or flight response. That is your body suddenly being asked to kick it up. And then 12 seconds later, you recover. We are training recovery. We're training the body to get better at recovering.
I like it.
The following week, we add something. The following week, we add something. So 4 weeks into the program now, your entire routine is about 22 minutes. But you're seeing a payoff.
A massive payoff.
It doesn't need to be immense volume of exercise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be incredibly intense exercise.
You don't have to hit the road for, start running an hour a day for 5 days a week.
For most people, that would be counterproductive. And what's really cool is if we were to take an elite athlete and just use that same approach, 6 minutes with two all-out bursts, that elite athlete is going to improve as well. Why? Because their all-out burst is greater. Their personal intensity is greater. Their capacity is greater. So what we're doing is we're challenging the body beyond what it's used to, but we are not only allowing it, we are encouraging it to recover. So as we remove the stressors, as we increase sleep and relaxation, now we can add to the exercise. And that's when it starts to work. So stress, as we know, can be very positive or can be very negative. Exercise is a stress. So the trick is, let's use that stress in a way that really brings a great result. Let's not abuse it because it'll lead to breakdown of the body. So what we see with New Year's is people don't eat enough or don't eat enough of the right things, and they exercise too much. That's a path to drive inflammation and perpetuate disease.
That's 90% of America.
We'll can I ask, Phil, I have a question for you. I mean, Phil, I don't go to a CrossFit, but I go to another type of program that is more high intensity, but it's sort of like over the course of 30 minutes, it's cardio where you bring your heart rate up, hold it for, you get up to a baseline, bring it up to advance, all out sprint, and then you walk. Bring it back down.
It's like 80, what, they take you up to 70% of your max heart rate?
No, 85, up to 85. Yeah, up to 85 of max heart rate. Do that for 30 minutes. And then versus heavy weights, it's more of light weights, lots of reps, changing up what you're doing, different body parts, using the TSX type bands and straps like that in bursts. It sounds like what you're doing. You do it in bursts, and then you have a rest, and you go change into something else. Is that, which is more effective, the heavy weight? Longer term, or just do what you're doing, even though it's over a course of an hour, going up, down, up, down, up, down. I mean, I'm curious.
You know what, Dave? Your body is amazing. I mean, not just yours, everybody's.
You have a nice body, though, Dave.
Yeah, it is amazing. Your body is amazing.
A lot better than it used to.
Yeah, Mr. Chubby Face, but that's okay.
It is amazing.
By the way, it's been a year now, Warren, since I've started the program.
It's awesome. He looks like a different person every time we see him. But anyway, go ahead.
It is amazing how the body can adapt. So, David, you ask a very good question, and the answer is there's no answer. And the reason is because as your body adapts to what you're asking it to do, if you want to facilitate greater improvement, then you've got to challenge it differently. So different modalities of exercise will bring about different outcomes, but if the goal is to get better and better and better, you got to change it up. So when people go, what is the right way? There is no right way. What we have to look at is how do we challenge you more than you're used to being challenged and allow you to recover from it. And as long as we can keep throwing a new stimulus at you, you're going to get better and better.
Interesting.
So if it's the same thing, like what he's doing, is it the same thing every week?
No, every day it's different. It's like a different body part. It's like totally mixed up. If you went every day, it'd be something totally different.
Well, I hear a lot of people say, you know what? I'm doing this routine, and it used to work, and it doesn't work anymore.
Mm. Why is that?
That's what you're talking about. How long have you been
doing it? 7 years? Well, clearly it doesn't work anymore, because what happens is you stress your body in a way that your body wants to respond. So you say, okay, muscles, I haven't asked you to move 70 pounds 18 times before, but now I'm going to ask you to do that. And then the muscles go, whoa, he's throwing something new at us.
Muscle confusion.
And then they change. But once they change, they can handle the workload. So if you keep doing the same workout, the muscles go, we got this. We don't have to change anymore. And the same is true of the respiratory system and the circulatory system. So it's about that balance between stress and recovery. Stress load versus recovery, which is really what I think cellular health comes down to, right? Human betterment comes down to appropriate stress and adequate recovery.
It is. It's a great message, and I'm so glad, Phil, you got to share it today. We do have to wrap up. It's past our time. Is there any final comments, David, Phil, you'd want to share with the show?
I want to thank you for bringing this, and let's do this again in the future. And I nominate Phil to lead our workouts on the beach next week.
Awesome. Yeah, we are going to meet up next week in West Palm, and we will be doing the show probably live.
Live from my condo.
Live from David. Real quick, guys, before we end the show, I do want to plug, you know, to share cellularhealing.tv, not .com, with your friends. Also, you can go to drpompa.com, which many of you have found us through that website. And at the top right, let me go there now. I could show my screen, but it would take a little bit too long for me to do that for you. And at the top right, you'll be able to, there should be a drop down, and there's also on the sidebar where you can go to our recorded podcast. So I just want to make sure that you know that that's there. So yeah, right next to the shop button, the top right hand corner of drpompa.com, it says podcast. You can click that and go and download and listen to Dr. Pompa, a little invite for you to join us through Cellular Healing TV. And you can download, watch us on Cellular Healing TV, and get on our mailing list to remind you, and then subscribe to us on iTunes. So we're really proud of the team who put that together so that now you can download and listen to these. If you weren't able to stay on for the whole show, you can listen to them now for the past year and download them, even all of them, right onto your iPod or MP3 player. So that's my plug. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week.
Bye, everybody.
Crush it. Don't do what the sheep are doing. Don't do what sheeple are doing. Do what works, not what
sheeple.
Sheeple. Don't do that. Do something different this year. You know, have success with your New Year's resolutions. I'm all for them if you can create those wins, and that's what Phil is describing, is a program that got you those wins, that moved you forward till you start realizing, wow, I am shedding weight. I am feeling better. I'm having more energy. If you do it the way the world's telling you to do it, you're not going to get those wins in most cases. And calorie restriction is not going to give you those wins. Exercising a ton is not going to get you those wins. What's going to get you the wins is doing something like the Alive program, eating the cellular healing diet, doing burst training, starting small and progressing up. I had to do that, and I'm getting some major wins. You know, I put on 10 pounds of muscle this year and got leaner. And that's not because I exercised a ton. It was all about diet and doing the right exercise like Phil prescribed. So thanks again. Hit it hard. Love you guys. Thanks so much.